quite nicely in terms of slam as a wonderful example from the very recent past that people are still really involved in doing things in a lot of different ways. And the study group's thinking about, you know, stuff that's happening today, and then with this event called How Do We Build Radical Movements. So I made just a little chart that, very briefly, that maybe, I don't know if y'all can see in the back, maybe I can get some help to read them out. So this just says, how do we build radical movements? Can someone read this?
Step one,
unite the oppressed. Unite the oppressed, right? Here they all are, united. Banner marching forward.
Step two, smash the state.
Smash the state. This is the state being smashed by the people's justice hammer over here. And this is the hard one.
Step three, seize, build.
And various caveats related to power.
Yeah.
Power. What was it? The last part?
Seize, build, and or recreate. Create slash recreate power. Repeat step as necessary.
Thank you. That actually comes from a dream that Mark Rudd had when Mao appeared to him.
Was that an erotic dream?
I don't think so, but I'll ask. I do that obviously in jest and the sort of say, you know, we don't know the answers, but these are all efforts at struggling with how we build radical movements, and that's why we're all here today. That's why Susie and I did these roundtables. And looking at study groups, you know, is sort of a tricky prospect. I know, you know, a lot of us here have been or are now in study groups. Many of us, I know, are in multiple study groups. And sometimes asking, you know, why are we doing this and what comes of it, and sometimes feeling really energized and enlivened by it. And to some extent, study groups feel like, you know, almost taken for granted that it, like, if you're in the left, you're part of some sort of study group cell that's really serious and, you know, focused on questions and you meet all the time and you talk about it, and that's great. But what we wanted to do is, you know, in doing the roundtable, is not just think about study groups as groups of people that are reading something together, but think about groups that are using their study process as a nexus for movement building. And certainly, I think that's what a lot of study groups are trying to do. The four groups that we selected, we chose because they sort of represent a sort of map in what Chris and I thought was sort of a map of radical politics or sort of trajectories of radical politics today. And so the four groups are Another Politics is Possible, which is based in New York, and very inspired by Zapatista, both the Zapatistas, but also Zapatista-inspired politics, looking at women of color feminism, indigenous organizing, and various sort of non-state revolutionary political politics beyond the state and beyond the party model. The next group, this is just in alphabetical order, is called the Activist Study Circle, which is based in the Bay Area and includes, you know, at its most, I've included almost 200 people, although a planning core of now 11, started off with 5. And I'll just go through the rest. The next one is called the LA Crew, based in Los Angeles, a collective of about a dozen people trying, like the Activist Study Circle, really trying to bridge different sort of political revolutionary histories. And then the last one is the New York Study Group, based obviously in New York. Started off as a study about the Revolutionary Party and its role historically in different revolutionary struggles, and has moved on to think about both revolutionary organization and strategy today. And I think, you know, with all of these study groups ranging in participants from 12 to almost 200, there are some key sort of constituent dimensions that I think fueled Chris and my interest in the study group, which is study group for what? And these four are sort of representing different aspects of, I think, efforts that are trying to really bridge, be eclectic in their political approaches. And I think that's something that all four of them have, you know, both not only in the readings that they're doing, but in the work that they're trying to do. But I think that eclecticism looks differently in practice. So for something like Activist Study Circle in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, together what they call, you know, all sectors of the socialist left, which they define as Marxists, anarchists, communists, autonomous, revolutionary nationalists, and feminists. With something like the LA crew using their study as a way to build unity across different sectors of work throughout education, healthcare, and immigrant justice organizing. And they talk about, in some of their responses, how their study of Zapatismo, for instance, informed their practice around healthcare organizing, and sort of thinking through healthcare organizing around immigrant justice, around whether you make a demand on the state or you build dual power, or how those things relate to each other. And so I think that, you know, and there's no effort on our part or from the study groups to really resolve these questions, but rather what we wanted to do is to foster and facilitate the debate around them, right, and to see them as sort of political options and political tendencies that exist. And I know some of the SLAM folks are in maybe both of the New York-based study groups, and I'd love for you all to speak on it if you feel interested. But really to just sort of think about these questions, what do we mean by revolutionary organization? I guess, you know, for Chris and I in the introduction to the piece talk about, you know, sort of three tenets of revolutionary movement building being politics, leadership, and organization. And that sort of defining these three, you know, in relationship to each other, but defining these three as sort of what, you know, what builds revolutionary movements. And these four groups offer different perspectives on it, right? And I think they're all interested in an eclectic politics. They're all interested in, you know, grappling with leadership in a democratic, non-hierarchical way, and they're all interested in building organization. But they prioritize all of them differently, and that leads them to do work really differently. And for us, it was really trying to just put that out there as part of what sort of a revolutionary movement building looks like today. And so I guess I would just want to close with thinking about, you know, the scale that we're working with, not just in terms of our own study group, but our own work, right? Like, what scale are we thinking about? Are we thinking, you know, sort of in neighborhood, nationally, internationally, regionally? Because I think, you know, it leads us to different answers. And I think, you know, what do we mean by revolutionary organization, as I said? And then lastly, again, I just want to sort of reiterate this point of study group to what end? And seeing those efforts at building unity and using study groups as a way not just to learn new stuff or cool stuff, but actually as a way to bring together folks who are doing work in different areas and to bring that knowledge and to bring the sort of knowledge of our own sort of interests, but also to use that in a way that facilitates movement building, I think is our challenge, but also a really exciting challenge and one that I think these groups are all trying to engage in, which is why we wanted to do the roundtable. So I'll close for there, because you're all going to buy it, and then you'll eat it, and you'll love it, and then we can also have some Q&A.